Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. I had a fantastic weekend. Last weekend, you might have seen some of my social media posts where I was talking about how wonderful it was to be in Ireland, in Dublin, with Susan from Hola Sober at her gathering. Just amazing to meet so many incredible women from all over the world, literally all over the world, just stepping out of their comfort zone. So many of them said, oh my goodness, I would never have done this. I would never have, traveled on my own across continents to come to something like this when I'd been drinking. I just would have said, I can't be asked, I'll have another glass of wine. And it is just incredible, isn't it, the way being sober makes you brave. It was just wonderful to get to meet so many inspirational people, and it's really made me think, oh my goodness, I am definitely going to plan more events. So we'll tell you a bit more about those in a little while. Very excited as well to tell you about my guest this week. We're going to be talking all about great nutrition. It's a topic that we cover a lot in the Sober Club. In fact, my guest is one of our Sober Club members who is also an incredible expert in gut health. So really looking forward to bringing you that session. But before we do that, we've got a sponsor for our podcast. Just fantastic to team up with a brand who were part of my Platinum Awards this year. So most of you know that with my other hat on, I love recommending natural products, holistic products. I don't sell anything, but I love recommending them. And every now and then you come across a brand that you think, oh my goodness, this is just absolutely everything we want. It's literally completely natural. It's sustainable. And again, I think when people stop drinking, that can sometimes be the time when they start to look at everything else in their life, in their environment. They start to look at what other toxins are going in. Because let's face it, of course we don't want to be putting in toxic liquid. We don't want to be putting in rubbish chemicals in our food. We want real food, but we also need to think about what we put on our skin. Our personal care products are so important. Who wants a load of synthetic toxic chemicals on our skin if we have alternatives that are fantastic? At one time, when I first started doing this work and I was hosting awards and I was writing books, because I've been doing this stuff for a long time, my first book was 2006, Imperfectly Natural Woman. And back then, there were nowhere near as many ranges of really good natural and organic skincare products. There was very little really back then. And a lot of the people that went after were looking for them. The consumers were people who had some kind of issues, perhaps allergies or intolerances, or people who were really very conscious of the sustainability picture. And of course, those things are both very important. But now we have a consumer base for these products who just want great products, right? They want these products because they are fabulous, because they are effective, because they're, equally as good, if not much better than their conventional counterparts. So things have really changed in the world of natural and organic and sustainable skincare. So anyways, absolutely delighted that we are collaborating for the podcast with Awake Organics. They're a growing family business. They're based in Buckinghamshire. And every product that they make is carefully formulated. They've got organic ingredients. They've got sustainable ingredients. And they're really dedicated to this. So they've got an effective natural skincare range. And they've got deodorants. That's always a fantastic place to start, is a natural deodorant. And they've got this very small supply chain, so that 89% of their ingredients and packaging are made in the UK. So that's a cool thing. We haven't got a load of air miles as well. You don't have to worry about any scary chemicals. They don't use parabens, SLS, aluminium, petrochemicals, and they're also certified cruelty-free by Leaping Bunny. So that's a really great assurance, a genuine commitment to ending testing on animals. So a fantastic brand, a fantastic range of products. They did win a couple of awards this year as well. We have an opportunity for you to get a discount on your first purchase from Awake Organics. JanieLee20 is the code. Janie Lee in capitals, JanieLee20 is the code to get 20% off for your first purchase. We'll put that in the show notes as well, from awakeorganics.co.uk. And if you're trying to decide, well, what shall I buy? What shall I start with? The deodorant, the natural deodorant range is fantastic. Aluminium free, 100% natural. It's a super good range of natural deodorants. So a few different types. They've got one for sensitive skin. They've got you know, a whole bunch of stuff if you want it a little bit stronger. You know, there's various different ones, but it's a great place to start if you're thinking of getting holistic, is to start with a natural deodorant. But I also want to mention this week their caffeine and rosemary shampoo, because this is absolutely unique. It's a shampoo powder. So, I mean, fantastic if you're traveling, you haven't got any of that hassle with liquids. It's made with premium natural ingredients, and it's a triple concentrate shampoo powder. So what that means is you buy this powder, which is equivalent to three bottles of a water-based shampoo. So obviously it's going to last for ages. And the main active ingredient is guarana seed, which apparently they tell me is higher in caffeine than coffee, around about four times higher, but we're not going to drink it. It's going to help stimulate circulation and helps bring blood flow to the scalp and the hair follicles. So it's super great for stimulating hair growth, and it really helps as well if you've got an itchy scalp, because it also has rosemary oil. So that's really great because it's antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. So if you've got a dry scalp or you've got an itching going on, it will sort that out. So it's a really lovely water activated powder, this caffeine and rosemary shampoo. So the brand are Awake Organics. It's awakeorganics.co.uk, and there is a discount code on your first purchase, Janie Lee in capital letters, JanieLee20, and I'll pop that in the show notes as well. So as I already said, this is often a time when people first decide to stop drinking, or when they've been into sobriety for a little while, and they start to think, you know, maybe, just maybe, I am going to start looking at what I put on my skin. I am going to start thinking about what I eat. So, you know, maybe I need to take care of my gut health. So we had, as I say, Trish, who is a Sober Club member, did a fantastic exclusive Q&A for us in the Sober Club. We do an awful lot around well-being, around nutrition. And we also did this great interview, which I'm absolutely delighted to bring you, because Trish is an expert in gut health. She's written this fantastic book, and this is the kind of interview you might want to grab a pen to listen to. So I'm really pleased that my guest is Trish Tucker May, who is an award-winning naturopathic nutritionist, a gut specialist, author of this fantastic book, Nourish Your Gut, which if you're only listening, you won't be able to see, but otherwise, if you're watching this, you will. Nourish Your Gut for a Positive Menopause, Reclaim Your Vitality. And I really wanted to chat to Trish, I mean, generally about gut health, because it's such a fascinating topic, particularly for those of us who were drinkers, a really fascinating topic, but also, of course, with the menopause connection, that's always going to be of interest to a lot of people who listen to this podcast. So Trish, welcome. It's so lovely to have you on the podcast.
It's so lovely to be here. I've been following the podcast, I think, since episode number one, or maybe I came in at episode number 30 or something, and went following the journey ever since, listening to you in my car, you know, being inspired every week or whatever. So it's great to be here. Thanks.
Brilliant. So let's just start with a bit about your story, because I know you've had your own sort of health and well-being journey that has led you to doing more of this work. So often the case, isn't it? You know, we have our own kind of health issues, and that leads us to think, oh my God, I've really got to look into this in more depth. So yeah, tell us your bit about your past.
I was chronically unwell for 32 years. I had respiratory challenges. I had really bad asthma. And at the age of 32, when I peaked at 12 anaphylactic episodes in 1 year, that was 12 hospitalizations or rides in the back of the ambulance where I was administered an EpiPen.
Wow.
All sorts of crazy things. Like I touched a tree in Greece and I ended up in hospital for 3 days. I ate a burger in Malmesbury and ended up in hospital, or a potato salad in the Isle of Wight. I actually had nasturtiums in a salad at a friend's wedding and ended up in hospital. So, yeah, I had, I was always the first person in the house to get sick. I had shingles twice as an adult. I had Ross River fever, which is like a polyepidemic arthritis, jaundice, severe liver problems that's caused by a mosquito bite. So, I was a picture of high toxicity, you would say, actually knowing that now. But, I was struggling growing up. I was I'm a twin. My twin brother was born really, really healthy and I was born half his size. And I stayed behind in the hospital. Like him and mum went home and I stayed behind. So I was always plagued with respiratory challenges and being poorly as a kid. One of my earliest memories actually was sleeping with bricks underneath the end of my bed to elevate my feet so my chest would drain during the night, and I'd be placed up my dad's knee and he would be cupping my chest and I would be coughing and sneezing. I mean, I would sneeze on average 200 times a day. At the age of 14, I was told I was hyperallergic. Like they did the scratch test on my arm and they said, oh, look, basically you're hyperallergic. Here, take this medication. You will be on this medication for the rest of your life. And at the age of 32, after so many anaphylactic episodes, I was actually in the UK and I had started my juicing business. I thought, I really need to get some help. This is ridiculous. So I found my way to a nutritionist and she diagnosed me with candida and a hookworm and leaky gut. And prior to that point, I would never have put my respiratory challenges and my asthma, I would never put that down to gut health. I would never.
No, well, we don't think there's a connection, do we?
No, you think lungs, respiratory, sneezing, wheezing is irritation, but it's of the lungs, it's of the respiratory system.
Yeah.
So I worked with this nutritionist for a period of 6 weeks and, I walked in with this box of medication. And 6 weeks later, I'm so proud to say that now I've been medication free for 22 years.
Wow. Amazing. So
and that's what really started. Look, I was always interested in nutrition and I was really interested in juicing and I'd created my business, Passion for Juice. And I was really interested in health. Like I actually wanted to be a dietitian at school. And it's quite funny because I got put in the local hospital doing work experience in the basement filing patient records for a week and I thought, oh no, boring. So I sort of came full circle, and after that experience of massive health transformation for myself, I thought, I'm going to go and study this. So after my second son was born, I decided to dive deep into the world of functional medicine and nutrition, and I haven't looked back. Like I love helping others to have that experience of healing, helping people really understand the connection to the gut, whether it's the hormones, whether it's addiction, whether it's low mood, whether it's blood sugar imbalance, or whether it's bloating. It can all start with an imbalance in the gut.
Yeah, it's really.
So that's why I'm a gut specialist. That's why that's my transformation came from the gut. So that's why I focus on the gut.
It's just fascinating, isn't it? And I think it's only in relatively recent years that more people have been recognizing this and have been talking about, the importance of the gut microbiome, this concept that the gut is the second brain. Sometimes people say the first brain, in fact. It's just so important. But, when you talk about, for anyone who's not sort of hasn't really heard that concept before, just explain to us in layman's terms, why is the gut so important and gut health, and why is it linked to literally everything, including respiratory conditions?
Okay, so we have what is called the microbiome, and think about this as like your garden. and your garden needs to have a really good balance of good and bad bacteria. And we are more bacteria than anything else. And there is a symbiotic law in nature that says that if we keep the good bacteria in check, then the bad bacteria will not take over and start to rule your life. So the microbiome is that garden, and it's really important that we allow that garden to flourish and we keep it in check in the same way that you would look after your own garden, where you would make sure that there's not too many weeds and you're nourishing that microbiome really well. But the thing is that there is the microbiome of the mouth, the skin, the lungs, the nasal passages, and ladies, the vagina. And all of these microbiomes are communicating with each other all the time. So, yeah, we might have an imbalance or an overgrowth of bacteria in the gut, but where has that started? Has that started in the mouth with some gingivitis or some dental work, or has it started in the nasal passages, or is it starting on the skin where you may be layering lots of toxic chemical-based products? Or even is it in the microbiome of your home? If your home has a lot of mold or lots of chemical products, or you're being exposed to environmental toxins in your home or your workplace, then that's also going to impact the gut microbiome. So you think about that environmental microbiome and all the microbiomes in the body, and they're all connected and they're all talking to each other. So if there's an imbalance in one, then there's likely to be an imbalance in possibly several, but particularly in the gut.
Yeah. And how might one know where the balance is not right? You know, is that something that you as a gut specialist can take a guess at or diagnose specifically, or is it really just guesswork?
We do start with symptoms. So we will look at the entire digestive system north to south. So what's going on? Little things like, you know, how is your taste, your sense of taste and smell? How much saliva do you produce? How easy is it for you to swallow? What sort of upper digestive tract difficulties do you have, like any upper digestive tract pain? Do you have bloating? Do you have gas? Do you have any lower, you know, IBS type symptoms, lower digestive tract symptoms? Do you have constipation? So we do go a lot on symptoms, but primarily I use testing. So I will use either a comprehensive microbiome test or a SIBO, a small intestine bacterial overgrowth breath test, or I use those in combination with each other. But I also do blood tests. You know, if we've got really low iron, a deficiency in vitamin D and a deficiency in B12, for example, that could indicate that there is some gut deficiencies, like you're not absorbing those nutrients effectively. So I'll use blood tests, hormone tests, stool tests to take out that guesswork. But I will also use that in conjunction with symptoms. So, you know, I could have a client that's presenting with a whole range of bloating, gas, tiredness and depression or low mood and insomnia, but the stool test is coming back sort of okay, then I might look a little bit further to hormones or to neurotransmitters as to what that gut-brain axis is saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, definitely symptoms and definitely functional nutrition, state-of-the-art testing, which helps to take the guesswork out, really.
Yeah, I absolutely. And we must talk about the where alcohol comes into this. So, you know, of course, you know, it's going to, I mean, we forget this, don't we, that when we're drinking, alcohol so will inflame the gut. It's absolutely going to make everything inflammatory. It's not going to be helpful. So just tell us a little bit about that. And also, you know, if you want to share a little bit about your own journey with alcohol, I'd be really interested.
Yeah, so I've been, I think I've been sober curious since my second son was born. So I've got two teenage boys. I'm a menopausal mum of two teenage boys. That's pretty stressful. And look, I tell you a couple of really interesting things in my journey with alcohol. Firstly, my second son, both my sons were just over 11 pounds. Okay, so I gave birth to 3-month-olds. They were huge babies. And they were all limbs and all so long and big. And my second son was born in Edinburgh, okay? Now, probably the worst advice, and I'm sure we've all got plenty of stories of bad advice from people, particularly around alcohol. You know, like we hear all the stories that it's good for this and that, whatever. The midwife there said to me, oh, you've got a really large baby there. I highly recommend a Guinness a day.
Oh, for God's sake, for your breast milk. Guinness for
correct,
the breast milk. I remember
for
that.
Your breast milk and God. Plenty of dark chocolate. Okay, yeah. So I was like, great idea, you know. Here's my excuse to have a Guinness a day while I'm breastfeeding and plenty of dark chocolate. So I took that advice. Now, prior to that, I was a regular drinker. I would even classify myself as a binge drinker. Like I worked in festivals and events. I worked at Glastonbury. I work at Boomtown. I worked at WOMAD, all these, you know, really debauched sort of quite intense events and in catering. So it's quite stressful. So, you know, alcohol was, you know, present at all of those events. And so prior to having the kids, I was quite, you know, I used to go clubbing and I used to go out and I used to, and it's interesting, like, you know, take it back to my 20s, I didn't really like the taste of alcohol, but it wasn't until my late 20s when I lived in Melbourne and I had access to the Yarra Valley and all the amazing wines. And that's when I really started to think, oh, yeah, wine, you know, wine's like this image of sophistication and success. And I was working in marketing at the time, of course, around the year 2000 in marketing in Sydney and Melbourne. Boozy lunches were all the thing, right?
Yeah.
And that was that, linking that to success. So I had a fairly substantial history under my belt in my late 20s and my 30s. And then my second son was born when I was 42, so quite late. And then that advice from the midwife, oh, yeah, Guinness a day. So I did that and I had good milk production. But looking back on that, I think, what crazy advice. And then he didn't sleep for 3 years. He didn't, he had really, because he was quite a large baby, he had quite a, his sphincters didn't quite line up. So he would just settle off to sleep and he would twitch and he would start screaming. So 3 years of massive sleep deprivation. And him wanting to feed seven times a night and me living off my mummy's little helper, my Guinness a day. You know, that nearly tore our marriage apart. It nearly tore our business apart, trying to manage with sleep deprivation. And I do recall around that time that I really started to lean on that Guinness a day as mummy's little helper. And I did really love my red wine by this stage, you know. And then I started studying nutrition and I thought, okay, the more I learn about alcohol, the more I know how damaging it is. And the more I realized that I shouldn't be drinking, but this is where it became really tricky because giving up was by this stage really hard because it was so wrapped around that end of the day reward, get through the, you know, push on to the next phase of the evening by getting the kids to bed and, you know, doing all that sort of stuff. So, look, I found it really difficult. So 9 years ago, I think I became sober curious. And in that time, I've done dry January pretty much every year, sober October nearly every year. I've even done some sober summers, but it would always be like a 3 month or a 6 month or a 7 month break where I'd go, right, I'm working on my gut health, I'm doing a detox, I'm doing a cleanse, I'm doing it this, that and the other, and then it would always creep back in, and I would be very aware of it creeping back in to the point where it really, when I hit the menopause, it really started to disrupt my sleep. I was definitely having some night sweats and they were definitely alcohol related. And particularly before going on to a big festival like Glastonbury, the night sweats then and that really relying on a few glasses of red wine just to calm down, you know, calm down at the end of the night was, it got to a point where it really started to not like me back. And then it even became harder. Like I'd get to that 3 month mark and that's when I reached out to you going, I'm in this pattern of 3 months, 6 months, 7 months, and I can't seem to get past that 7 months. It will always creep back in. And I realized that, you know, the more I was learning about it, the more I was doing my own gut tests and understanding how I managed to get to where I was with regards to my anaphylaxis and my digestive enzymes, the closer, the clearer I could see that the link between the alcohol that I was allowing to slip back in and the damage in my gut was just too obvious.
Yeah, yeah, really is, isn't it? It's really incredible when you realize that actually not putting toxic poison in underpins everything, right? You know, there isn't anything that isn't going to be better or at least stay the same, you know, if you remove alcohol. It really is just that incredible thing. It really is amazing. It's fascinating.
One of the tricky things for me was, you know, seeing some of my mentors and they'd be talking about, oh, I'm going off and having a weekend on the wine that would be nutritionists. And I'd be like, oh, and I really get caught up in that and think, oh, well, I really respect them, so it must be okay. But deep down in my heart, I knew it wasn't. It wasn't.
Well, there's that expression, you know, in your gut. And in your case, you really did.
And so interestingly, you know, when I was recently in Australia and I was talking to a really old girlfriend about, you know, she's now sober for 2 years. And she had said to me, you know what? Because I'd get these really bad hangovers, like really 2 day sort of hangovers over 3 or 4 glasses of wine. And she said to me, you know what? You always had the worst hangovers. So, you know, right back in my 20s or university years, I couldn't tolerate alcohol.
I mean, our bodies are very clever, aren't they? They do tell us, you know, and I've often said, how bizarre is it that if there's a food we're intolerant to, you know, you with all your various allergies, if you can identify what that food is that you're intolerant to, you never have it again. It makes you sick, you don't have it again. But with alcohol, we do the whole bloody thing again the next day.
Correct. And that was just the lunacy of it, the ambivalence that, you know, that, and that was taking up a lot of space in my head thinking, okay, I know that I've got an allergy to alcohol. However, I'm still drinking. So there is the power of it, you know, and there is that, you know, that having to make it not negotiable and drawing the line of going, well, it's just not even entering my head has been so helpful, you know, because despite knowing all the damage it does, despite knowing that, you know, it causes anxiety and stress, you think it helps you relax, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. It's a depressant.
With your blood sugar. It's dehydrating, especially for the brain, particularly in the menopause. It's inflammatory. It's bad for our joints. It's, you know, really bad for our liver. It gives our body, our liver, so much more to metabolize, while the liver's also trying to metabolize hormones, you know. It causes brain fog. It was waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, a ton of reasons, which I've well documented in my book, which I've well documented in every journal over the last 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, despite all of that, I would still go back to it.
Yeah.
You know,
but I really appreciate your honesty on this because, you know, I was exactly the same. Yeah, you know, and I was the same. You know, I was writing about holistic health and talking about holistic health and literally queen of, you know, well-being and everything organic and God knows what. And yet this elephant in the room, you know, that I was stepping around, I was still going back to, because we just forget the power of this addiction, really, of this of these neural pathways that have been so laid, haven't they, to just make us think, okay, that's my reward, that's my how I can feel grown up and all the rest of it, you know, till we can break that cycle. So I think your honesty is brilliant and it will really help people to recognize that, you know, even if you do know all of this logic, even if you're working within health and well-being, it can still be tricky.
Yeah, I really felt a disconnect. I was really feeling, you know, the effect on my self-esteem and my integrity when I'm coaching clients through the menopause and through gut healing. And then I'd be going and having a glass of wine at the end of the day. I'd be thinking, no, there's a lack of alignment here. And this is causing stress. So that the improvement in my self-esteem since, you know, in the last 6 months, since being sober and, you know, not negotiably sober, I've really felt the benefit, particularly with my self-esteem.
Yeah, brilliant. And that's
I think that was my biggest menopause challenge was my self-esteem. You know, I really felt like after running successful business and all this sort of thing, writing the book, pivoting my business, in the lockdown, and I was sober all of the lockdowns, and I'd said to my husband, look, I'm not drinking in the lockdown. And he goes, well, that could be a long time. I'm like, I don't care. I cannot justify, you know, the thought of getting through the day by, you know, having a glass of wine. Because I thought, you know, I'm trying to pivot my business here. I can't justify spending money on alcohol. You know, it just it seems crazy. But then even after the lockdown, I did go back and had another, you know, so it is, it's a really tricky one.
Yeah.
But I do feel much better for, you know, having drawn the line and said, no, this is not negotiable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we could obviously talk for hours, but let's cut to some tips from you, if we may. So obviously, you know, it would be good to get a few tips from you generically for what we can do, what we can all do to support our gut health. And then we'll have a quick look at some menopause stuff as well. But what would you say is important for us all to consider? I mean, I guess you're going to say, you know, eat a varied diet and real food as opposed to ultra processed foods. That's probably a starting point, right?
Yeah, it is. I'd say, look, have a good look at your symptoms, because the body whispers a long time before it starts to shout. So if you've got little whispers, like if you've got energy slumps in the afternoon, if you are bloated, particularly if you are definitely feeling 6 months pregnant by the end of the day, if you even have little things like difficulty swallowing, difficulty smelling food, difficulty producing saliva, if you have a coating of white or yellow tinge to your tongue, if you are definitely, if you're constipated, if you have IBS sort of symptoms, then, you know, have a think about all of those symptoms. And I really encourage you to write down all the little whispers. So even if it's, I've got aching little finger joint, or I've got an aching right big toe, you know, how minute that is, or I'm slightly puffy in the morning, or I've got itchy skin, or, you know, whatever it is, however small that symptom is, that's an indication that the gut can do with some work. It could be dehydration. It could be simple things, okay? So first thing is write down all your symptoms. And when I first did this, when I first started studying, I had like 3 pages of symptoms. Like there's little niggles, not enough to go to the doctor, but enough to be like, oh, yeah, I've had this aching finger joint for over a year now. I wonder what that is. So first thing is write your symptoms down. And then have a think about everything that can happen in the digestive system going north, from north to south. So start with the mouth. How is your tongue? How is your saliva? How are your teeth? How well do you chew your food? You know, and how slowly do you eat your food? And then have a think about your everything that could go wrong in the digestive system. You know, the stomach. How's your stomach acid? I mean, do you even know how your stomach acid is? You could do a really simple test at home called the burp test, 1/2 teaspoon of bicarb soda in water on an empty stomach. If you burp under 3 minutes, you've got good hydrochloric acid. If you don't burp, and so many of my clients don't burp for like 15 minutes, it means you've got low stomach acid. And that's something that's really easy to fix.
Oh, wow. I love this one. Burping is good then, right?
Or burping after the bicarb soda.
Oh, you're cutting out now. What a shame. I was really interested in the burping.
Should react with your stomach acid. And oh, goodness. I hope it's going to stay stable.
Yeah, it's okay. Carry on.
So, yeah, so burping, that reaction of the bicarb soda with the stomach acid should cause you to burp. And that's, you know, something that is easy to fix in the digestive system, because if you've got low stomach acid, and guess what, if you drink alcohol and you've been drinking alcohol for many years and you're over the age of 40, and particularly if you're female, because we have the changes in the hormones that affect the elasticity of the entire body, also affects your stomach acid, then, you know, stomach acid is quite easy to fix.
Yeah.
Right. So again, you know, keep going down, stomach, okay, what about the liver? How is the liver performing? The liver has to do, you know, so many tasks every moment of the day. If you've been drinking for a long time, your liver is going to be sluggish.
Yeah.
You know, and then you think about the pancreas. So the pancreas produces enzymes. Now, many of my clients, through testing, we can see that the pancreas is deficient. It's not producing the enzymes. So if you're not producing enzymes, to break down your food, then you're not going to digest that food. It's going to pass into the intestine partially undigested, and it's going to cause fermentation. It's going to cause gas.
Yeah.
So a tip to improve your enzyme activity is to have some bitter foods, like having fresh ginger before your meal, having some apple cider vinegar before your meal, having some bitter leafy greens, like a little salad before your meal or with your meal, a little squeeze of lemon juice can be very good to bringing in those digestive enzymes.
Yeah.
Eating really slowly helps to produce the saliva, helps your brain then to register what food is coming, sends a message to the pancreas, these are the enzymes that we need to produce to break this food down. So if you're eating really quickly, you're eating on the run, you're eating on the go, you're eating in the car, you're eating walking, working, all that sort of thing, then you're going to miss out on that connection to this is what's coming, this is the food that we need, we're breaking down.
Yeah,
and then we absolutely get into this. And you know, the small intestine can be really, really complex. Lots of things could be going wrong there. So eating whole foods, a good range of a diverse range of foods.
Yeah, you know, like in the book, you've got a lovely bit about eating the rainbow and how important it is to have a wide variety of different coloured foods, real food.
Think about texture. Think about diversity. Think about, like, even when you go shopping, you may be in the habit of just buying the same things. Like, you might buy cucumber, tomato, courgette, apples and oranges and bananas.
Mm.
Okay, but what about all those other foods that are there? You're better off when you go shopping to choose two of everything and find ways to cook that. So if you get a box delivery, that's great because you'll be getting seasonal
stuff.
And yeah, you'll be getting a variety of foods that you may not normally get. Like at the moment, we're getting lots of chard and beans and beetroot. But, you know, having that diversity is really key because we have this diminishing diversity. So other things that you can add in, like high fiber foods, making sure you're getting lots of vegetables, some seaweed. Seaweed is really good for iodine.
It's hard to eat that fine seaweed, though, isn't it, in a form that we can take? I mean, some of the seaweed kind of products you buy are just like coated in sugar. They're really crap, aren't they?
I like the Cornish seaweed company do lovely seaweed spaghetti, and that's quite a nice way.
You can
soak that and chop it up and put it into broths, or you know, that's quite a nice way. But also adding in seeds, you know, think about with your diversity, think about herbs and seeds, and you know, having and spices, because they count
as
part of your diversity.
Yeah. And so fermented foods, would you agree with, sauerkraut and kimchi and those kind of things?
Sauerkraut, kimchi, water kefir,
kombucha, of course.
Kombucha, love my kombucha. And having a variety of those things because they work on their way through the gut. So having a little bit and often, you know, in nourishing traditional cultures, Japan, Eastern Europe, Russia, they will have those fermented foods regularly, small amounts and often. Korea, you know, they have the kimchi. So, you know, adding those little bits, not just relying on the sweet yogurt, but having, you know, a variety of raw, fermented, live, cultured fermented foods, very, very good.
Yeah.
Think about your natural antimicrobials, like, again, your herbs. Garlic, onions, if you can tolerate them. If you can't tolerate them, that's a sure sign that you have a bacterial overgrowth. And apple cider vinegar is a very good antimicrobial. Oregano is really good for antimicrobial. And then you think of your superfoods, like I love beetroot. I love, love, love beetroot, berries, avocados, good oils, adding in some good oils to your food and making sure it's all real food.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The easiest thing to do is just eat real food.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you about probiotics? Because again, it's a bit of a minefield, isn't it? And you know, we're told, well, you should have probiotics, but then we hear that a lot of people will say that probiotics don't make it past the stomach acid anyway, so you're just putting in expensive vitamins that are not arriving.
There are some amazing strains of probiotics now, and it's brilliant. It's such a great time to be in this field because, you know, the studies, the clinical trials around certain strains of probiotics, that even make it all the way down to the gut that then can sort out the vaginal dysbiosis can be amazing. So, you know, if you're struggling with vaginal infections, thrush, reoccurring thrush, that sort of thing, there's even strains that can make it all the way to the gut that they then can sort out the vaginal issues. So, you know, it's a wonderful time. It's certainly worth spending the money on practitioner grade probiotics that are very specific for very targeted, that have got those clinical trials. So I have a range of probiotics that I use, but different probiotics for different problems that I see, different symptoms will have, you know, very specific strains for different symptoms.
Yeah. And on that same thread then, one of the questions that one of the Sober Club members sent in was that she has been told she has issues with her gut. She didn't go into details exactly what, but she said she thought that was due to taking antibiotics. So of course we're always told, aren't we, if you have to take antibiotics, then follow on afterwards with a course of probiotics. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So antibiotics, look, they can be life-saving, you know, and I think doctors are dishing them out far less now. Mm. But we do know, again, from clinical trials, that it can take up to a year to rebuild the microbiome after a dose of antibiotics. And also be aware that if you've had surgery of any type, if you've had a general anaesthetic, you would have been given IV antibiotics during that surgery, which often you're not told, which is life-saving. It can stop you getting a staph infection while you're having surgery, but it is so important that you rebuild the microbiome afterwards and that you have a range of, you know, fermented foods. You're getting different strains. So, you know, you're getting a different strain for kombucha, kefir, even water kefir, milk kefir, and your kimchi, your sauerkraut. You're getting different strains in all of those different ferments. And, you know, you've got thousands of different strains of bacteria in the gut. So, you know, again, a little bit and often, but having a really good targeted, like when we're looking at a good probiotic, you're looking at a very high CFU count, which is the colony of good bacteria. So you might be looking at, you know, after surgery particularly, you might be looking at something like a 450 billion CFU count to help rebuild that microbiome. Very, very important. But yeah, it's a great time. You know, there's some wonderful products out there that are derived from whole food, organic food. The probiotics that I use are derived from food. They're grown in cruciferous vegetables, so they're absorbed, they're recognized, they're bioavailable.
Right. And I mean, in the book, you've got some fantastic recipes and, you know, recommendations. There's so much in this book. It really is a fantastic read. It really is. There's so many great ideas for making your own stuff, basically, that's not going to be expensive and you know, is going to kind of give you everything you need. Just very briefly then, I mean, we've ended up talking about sort of gut health generically, of course, but where does it shift then for someone who wants to address the menopause? You know, what are the differences, if you like, or what are the points that you would look for if someone wants to look to helping themselves through the menopause and focusing on the gut health?
Yeah, okay. So we do know that because of the drop in estrogen and progesterone, we suffer with that has several effects in the gut. So we lose that elasticity, so we lose that mucosal barrier, the epithelial lining in the gut becomes more prone to permeability, so we can then struggle with things, symptoms like leaky gut. We know that that estrogen decrease also, you know, all our hormones need to be metabolized through the liver. So we have those fluctuations that can cause insomnia, can cause bloating, can cause joint pain, can cause, you know, a whole raft of even, you know, your hair and hair, thinning hair and nails and, you know, your skin. Dry skin, you know, the skin's elasticity seems to just change overnight. So it's a really important time to make sure you're clearing out toxins. It's so important that we focus on rest and a good night's sleep, because that's when the repair and rejuvenation happens. so important we focus on the liver, because all those hormones are metabolized through the liver. It's a really important time.
And this is why, sorry to interrupt, but this is why alcohol doesn't mix with the menopause, right? I mean, it so does not.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we've become so more sensitive. Like, we can become, you know, talking about allergies. I mean, I had a lot of allergies, but ladies can be suddenly allergic to things they've had all of their life, whether it's in their skin regime or their hair dye or other foods that suddenly, you know, that you present with hives because you're having too much coffee, for example, or too much sugar. And also, you know, we've got that delicate balance between the insulin, your thyroid stimulating hormone, and your cortisol. Yes. So it's such a delicate balance. It's really time to focus on all of those things. So blood sugar is so important, like making sure that you're getting enough fat and protein and you're not snacking all the time.
Yeah.
Snacking all the time actually is very detrimental to your gut health anyway, because you're not having that migrating motor complex phase 3 of digestion where the small intestine is cleared of bad bacteria. Mm. So, you know, in the menopause, I think it is really time to do the work. And this is why I wrote the book, because, you know, I see a direct correlation between getting to over the age of 40, needing to focus on the liver, and because of the liver is doing all the work. So, you know, if you've got a sluggish liver, you are going to be struggling with bloating and insomnia and irritability and low mood swings and low libido and accidental weight gain. Yeah. You recognize any of those symptoms from the menopause? They're all the same sort of symptoms. So it's so linked. So where do you start? I mean, you know, start with supporting the liver. Start with, you know, definitely avoiding toxins, extra toxins in your skincare regime, in your food, in alcohol. Alcohol, of course, you know, it's so important that we do the work.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I mean, really, I could really genuinely talk to you for hours. You'd have to come back and we'll dig into another aspect of this. But thank you so much, Trish, for sharing some of this stuff with us. The book is Nourish Your Gut for a Positive Menopause. But it really is relevant to everyone, I think. There's so much amazing stuff in there. Do you just want to share how you work with people and share your website?
Sure. On my website, trishtuckermay.com, I do see clients face-to-face and online. I've got a clinic in Minchinhampton near Stroud, and I do run an 8-week program, which is designed to heal the gut and balance the hormones. I run it as a group program, as a one-to-one program, and I do tests. And sometimes I work with clients, you know, for up to 3 to 6 months. Sometimes longer if they're going through the menopause. You know, that transition between perimenopause and menopause can take quite a while. So there's a lot of hand-holding involved. Start with the book. And, you know, if any of this resonates, then please reach out to me via my website.
Brilliant. Trish, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So we'll put the details in the show notes. Nourish Your Gut for a Positive Menopause. And don't forget, if you do want to join us in the Sober Club, we have lots of amazing content like this, lots of expert content where we have an exclusive Q&A purely for our members that is not broadcast anywhere else. And we've got a whole library of that material. So, you know, there's a whole wealth of stuff within the Sober Club across all different aspects of well-being, really, because that's what it's about, isn't it? Focusing on living your best life. It's not only ditching the booze, but that is the starting point. That is the thing that has to underpin everything else. I haven't even mentioned Sober October, but there will be people listening, I'm sure, who have made that decision to do Sober October. So if that's you, fantastic. I really hope that you're going to really take on board some of the tips that you will have seen on social media, on my Instagram and many others. Really, my top tips, I'm sure you know by now, they are focus only on what you're gaining. Focus only on everything that's going to be brought into your life for the better, all the positivity that's going to come your way. Literally forget about this idea of giving up, of missing out on anything. If that feels really hard for you, just fake it till you make it. Literally just set yourself a little challenge that you're going to act the role of someone for this month at minimum, preferably beyond. You're going to act the role of someone who is free from addiction, who is not craving a toxic substance. Just act, give yourself a little fee and act the role. It's quite fun if you do it that way. But it's super important just to focus on everything you're gaining. Don't use the phrase giving up. You know, I don't allow that. I'm very bossy. Don't say I'm giving up for October. You're not giving up anything and your unconscious mind is listening. You can say you're quitting. You can say you're going to choose to be free from addiction. You're going to choose not to have an addictive substance. And of course, you know that my next tip will be keep the ritual, change the ingredients, because we are adults. We do like something nice to drink. So yes, have a nice glass. Don't know why it has to be called a wine glass, but anyway, have a nice glass, but have something in it that is alcohol free. And of course, the choice is huge. Just have a look at thesoberclub.com. You'll find loads of recommendations. The choice is huge, but have something. It doesn't have to be a replacement, in inverted commas. If you don't want to have alcohol free beer or alcohol free fizz or a spirit type drink, doesn't matter. Have a great kombucha, have an artisan tonic. There is so much choice, obviously. So keep the ritual, change the ingredients, and get inspired. Carry on listening to podcasts. I've got, what is it now? 250. You can go back and listen to them. And join us in the Sober Club, because there's so much inspiration there, so much amazing content you can dig into. And of course, that leads me to the other tip, which is get connected. That connection, it's massive. It's so powerful. So powerful to be connected, so that it's not just you and that voice in your head, because the voice will creep in. However well you're doing, if it's just you and the voice will win ultimately. You know, give it a few days, give it a week, and then the little voice will say, oh, well, you've done really well, but you know, you can just have one now. You're obviously not addicted. It's really not a problem. Just have one. You don't, who says you have to finish Sober October? Just do a couple of weeks. Just have one. And when you're able to share that voice with other people, when you're able to write a post that says, you know, I've been having these thoughts, I've been having these cravings. And then other people, they're not judgmental, certainly not in the Sober Club. They're totally non-judgmental, but they will steam in and say, do you know what? Life is so much better without the booze. Just keep going or whatever. So, you know, having that sense of people holding you accountable and cheerleading you, it's everything. If you are doing Sober October, reach out. You may not want to join the Sober Club. You may not want to be part of a community. That's up to you, though I would highly recommend it. But tell someone. You can absolutely tell me. Tell someone, make it real. Make it real for yourself. Just reach out. And if I can, I will message you back. You know where to find me. I'm very easy to find, at Genuinely Grace across social media. And you can go to thesoberclub.com. Just a reminder of events. I've been talking about the power of connection, the power of meeting up with other people. We have a Family Constellations event next weekend. I know it's not quite the same as just a sober meetup, but it's an incredible, powerful experience. If you can make it to a Family Constellations workshop, that's in Hertfordshire, Sunday, October the 15th. So have a look at thesoberclub.com/events, and I'll put it in the show notes as well. The day before that, if you have a business, if you're a practitioner or an expert or a coach, then come and join us for a heart-centered business day, kind of mastermind day. That's also in Hertfordshire. And then moving forward to the end of October, October 29th, I'm going to be speaking at an event in Manchester, which is organized by a couple of our sober coaches. Andy from After Party is the main man on that one. Again, we'll put the link there for you. And then November the 4th and 5th, it's our retreat at Champneys, self-care and sobriety at Champneys in Tring. Be amazing to see some of you there. And then finally into December, we have a meetup, Sober Club meetup and Christmas do and live podcast recording with a very special guest on December the 5th in London. And there will be other things. You know, I really would love to do a lot more meetups. And if you want something in your area, drop me a message. Maybe we can collaborate. Maybe we can work something out. Anyways, again, if you're doing Sober October, let someone know, whatever behavior change you're making, whatever you're focusing on, just stay focused on everything that you're gaining. And, you know, if you want to drop me a message, I'll be your cheerleader. I'll be cheerleader number one. Okay. I'll hold the vision for you. Promise. Thanks again to Awake Organics, who we collaborated with for this podcast. It's awakeorganics.co.uk if you want to treat yourself to their fantastic caffeine and rosemary shampoo or any other of their gorgeous products. And there is a discount code Janie Lee, that's in capital letters, Janie Lee 20. I will see you same time next week. Don't forget to let me know which podcasts you've really enjoyed. Let me know if there's anyone you'd like me to interview in the future. If I can get them on the podcast, I will give it a go. I love knowing what you think about the podcast. It really makes a difference to me when you let me know what you've enjoyed, and if there's anything you'd like me to cover in the future, any topics that you think, you know, I really need to cover that on the podcast. Very happy to do that. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.